Our scripture passage for today comes from Matthew chapter 2. Listen for God's word. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star that had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. Have you ever gone on a trip without knowing all the details or how it would turn out? Maybe you didn't know where you'd end up. You just went. Probably every trip has some element of these things. Comedian Jim Gaffigan tells the story of taking his kids on tour with him. While they were in South Dakota, they stopped to see Mount Rushmore. Before they had arrived, it was this mythical place, four presidents etched on the side of a mountain. Expectations were running high, and when they arrived, they all looked at the faces in silence for a long time, and then one of his kids said, "Are the eyes going to blink?" "Oh, really?" that she said. "That's it?" You just don't know what you'll find on the trips or how you'll experience those trips until you just go and find out. Yesterday at the men's breakfast, we looked at our scripture reading for today and asked the same question. Have you ever gone on a trip without knowing all the details or how it would turn out? We shared stories of trips to meet up with people before cell phones and GPS and how much more difficult and unpredictable that was. Trips where all we knew was that we needed to be in a certain place, but no one was confirming when. Trips when we knew the general direction we were going, but not where we'd get, not when we'd get there or where we'd stay or what we'd see along the way. Even trips where the path we planned to take was blocked and GPS rerouted us in new directions. Even still, we reached our destination. We made the meeting. We connected with friends, found our family, saw the sights we hoped to see. The old cliche that the journey is as important as the destination and that the journey was worth it seemed true as we talked. Our scripture reading today has a similar feel to it. While King Herod was in power, Christmas happened. Jesus was born. A new king had been born among the people, but even if his parents and others knew that this baby was destined to be a king, they dared not speak that truth publicly, or they would face the fire and the fury of Herod. One only needs to read the story that comes after our passage today, the slaughter of the innocents, to know that King Herod was willing to push the button for his own purposes. But that didn't stop the truth from spreading. Wise men from the east saw the announcement of the newborn king in the stars. Creation speaks the truth even when the powers of this world spin and distort the truth for their own ends. Maybe this is the reason why these wise men are called wise. They listened to creation. Just as the changing seasons and constellations speak to us about who we are and what we need, the rising star was a message to these attentive sages. And what's even more amazing, the wise men followed the star. They decided that that rising star, which somehow they believed would lead them to a child born king of the Jews, was worth following. That it would actually lead them to that newborn king so that they could pay him homage. Whatever they saw, whatever the message they heard, it compelled them to follow it, to leave their familiar, comfortable lives behind and go in search of the unknown. Now, we know very little about these wise men. Do you know how many wise men there were? The Bible doesn't tell us, but we assume there were three because there were three gifts. Do you know the wise men's names? The Bible doesn't tell us that either. I'll give you the answer. Later tradition called them Balthazar, Melchior, and Gaspar. All we know is that these were wise men from the East, which might have put them in modern-day Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Syria, Iran, or Iraq. Because of the preciousness of their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, they were probably people of means and privilege. And most importantly, they were astrologers who believed that the alignment of the stars called them to follow. And that's what they did. They packed up their entourage and they followed a star. We don't know the path the wise men traveled, just that it was from the east. We don't know how long it took them to reach their destination. Our best guess is that they arrived sometime during the first 2 years of Jesus' life. Otherwise, why would Herod have killed all the babies, the baby boys who were two and under? By the time they arrived, the Bible tells us that they found Joseph, Mary, and Jesus in a house. Joseph may have found some work that allowed them to move out of the stable. All we know is that the trip took a while. And they were willing to make it. That's what intrigues me about this story, that they took this journey, not knowing for sure what they would find or when they would arrive. They were willing to leave wherever they were and follow a star without any guarantee that they were reading the stars correctly or where that star would lead them. They were willing to leave the safety of the place they were in and go. They were willing to pack up everything and take a journey. Where did they travel? What did they see? What was the terrain like? Was it hard going? Did they ever want to give up and go back? Did they consult with one another along the way about how much this whole trip was costing them with all the animals in tow and the people? Were they ever assaulted by marauding bands? We don't know much about where they stayed or who they saw. Except for King Herod. When he heard about the trip, he was frightened and all of Jerusalem with him. That's really political speak for we do and we say and we feel what the king does and says and feels, because that's true. King Herod didn't like other kings in his territory, especially when they were predicted to arrive, and especially in towns like Bethlehem, which literally means house of bread. What was this newborn king going to feed the people that might open their eyes to the truth? And worse, encourage life and freedom in them. So Herod did the only sensible thing. He made the wise men ambassadors to Bethlehem. Go and search diligently for this child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay him homage. Well, whatever the wise men heard Herod to say, they kept following the star until it stopped. Then they were overwhelmed with joy when they saw to what, or really to whom, the star was pointing. They entered the house where the baby and his parents lived. They knelt down and paid him homage. That means they worshiped him, the baby, not the king who had sent them. And then their worship was followed by generosity. They offered him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. As Dinah Butler Bass explains, the wise men brought their gifts with no expectation of repayment, with no debt of gratitude attached. Gifts were freely given and received in response to love, not an anticipation of reciprocity. Gifts in response to love. That's what their pilgrimage was all about, taking a journey to find love. And that's what they found. So much so that love led them home by another road. Celtic Christians have a name for the kind of journey the wise men took. It's called peregrinatio, which is Latin for pilgrimage. People who took this kind of journey were called peregrini. According to the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle, three Irishmen arrived in the country of Cornwall in southwest England in the 6th century. They had left the coast of Ireland in a boat with no oars and only enough provisions to last a week, demonstrating their total dependence and devotion to God. They left safety and security behind because they believed God was calling them to take a pilgrimage to share the good news of Christianity to unknown shores. Such people came to be known as peregrini. In early Celtic tradition, the idea of becoming peregrini, or strangers who leave their homes, families, and all that's familiar to them for distant lands, it allowed them the opportunity to enter into the spiritual life of something also in Latin called peregrinatio pro amore Dei, a pilgrimage for the love of God. That's why they took the journey, to grow more in love with God and God's love for them, and to discover God's love in new places. It was easy to get comfortable with what they had, to plateau in their relationship with God and God's purposes for their lives. If they stayed where they were, they would maintain the status quo. So they left the safety and comfort they knew to go on a pilgrimage for the love of God. Author Philip Newell says that the ideal of peregrini in the old Celtic church was defined as seeking the place of one's resurrection. It consisted of a willingness to let go of or die to one's home or the place that was comfortably familiar in order to find new life. The impression given is that the gospel of Christ leads us not into what we already know, but into what we do not know yet. Presbyterian pastor George MacLeod put it this way: follow truth wherever you find it, even if it takes you outside your preconceived ideas of God or life, even if it takes you outside your own country into the most insignificant alien places like Bethlehem. I wonder how we might let this new year be a peregrination, a pilgrimage beyond what we know of life and church and God. How might the nature of God's love be calling us to take a journey into a new year and an unknown future, all so that we might find greater love, deeper faith, and new life? What would we need to let go of? What place of comfort would we need to leave? What status quo would need to die that we might be raised to new life? The love of God does not call us into what we already know. It calls us into what we do not yet know. In this new year, look to the heavens and listen afresh to the message of God's creation. Follow the star of God's life through the ups and downs, the joys and the sorrows, the risks and the challenges, until you and I find the light of the world which shines for all the world to see. And when we reach that place of joy this year, let us kneel down before the newborn King and pay him homage and offer our gifts and our lives to the light of the world, that we may discover a new way, the way of God's radiant love and abundant life. Amen.